Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. But can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, December 22nd, 2017. And for some of you, you're saying, tonight's the night. Finally, we'll be able to not hear Mark announce the Wonderful Life program, the special broadcast, the historic first time that this is going to be over the air. Well, that's happening tonight. So we're excited to share the Great News Radio Theater Troupe with y'all. They've rehearsed for many, many months, and all their efforts will culminate in tonight's broadcast. Dozens and dozens of different sound effects have all come together. I think 36 or something original different music pieces by John Norris, where I was telling you, Jason, he brought in his three different keyboards. So when people hear the transitional music, I think they'll be encouraged and blessed by it. And then Tammy Renee Harris, who has put together, and I guess F sharp, F minor. Steve would know those terms, but Whispering Hope, that song, she sings it. That'll open up the whole program. And we just have it all put together in such a way that I think you'll be blessed. I've been working on it along with Kate Freeman, who's our director, and she's just done a phenomenal job. A lot of people putting it together. And when you hear the broadcast tonight, beginning at 7 p.m., when it concludes, you'll hear the various names. Freddie Fillmore will announce all the different cast members. And so it's been a total team effort. We've been buoyed when you're lifted up by many, many different people praying over this thing. And
one of the games I was thinking about that people could play is after they listen tonight, they can listen again on Saturday. At what time?
Saturday it'll be 3 to 5. And then another encore Sunday, 3 to 5.
So 3 to 5 on Christmas Eve. So one of those nights, you could sit down, because these are all folks from in the area.
Yes.
And you could see if you can try and figure out who is who.
Yeah, by the voices.
Yeah, by the voices.
The old man Gower. Arr, he's a guttural sound. Yeah. Well, anyways, I won't wait till you tune in. I trust you'll be blessed, encouraged. And as I was listening to the various cast members and the rehearsals and putting this all together, I got choked up at a number of the scenes where George is crying out to God and the powerful transformational work that takes place. And I think everyone will be in for a blessing. And we've been promoting it to the general public. So if you're new to the radio ministry and you're just tuning in because you've been hearing about this wonderful life that the Great News Radio Theater Troupe is putting together, we say welcome, and we trust that these next few days through the end of the year, the Christmas music will really set the stage for you to welcome in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we celebrate this season through his birth, but so much more through his life and through his resurrection, that he will be returning someday. And this wonderful life was an idea that Kate presented some months ago, and I thought, oh, I guess we could do that. Sounds pretty good. It's a great storyline. And as we got all these cast members together and put in all the rehearsal and the time, I think it'll be really worth it. So we invite you to tune in tonight at 7 p.m., which means this morning's program won't be re-airing at 7:32 p.m. because we'll be in the midst of It's a Wonderful Life. And
this is your one shot.
Yeah, this is.
If you don't get it now, you just don't get it. It's done.
That's
it's gone.
Right. Now, we will be archived, but tonight at 7 o'clock, let's see, what do we usually have? I'm going to do it on all four frequencies. So we'll be preempting some of the teaching, and Front Page Jerusalem, which is aired on 89.3, will be preempted. But it'll be 7 to 9, and this actual program will run about 77 minutes. So I'll probably follow it with some Christmas music, and I might do a little narration. I mean, I'll come back on tonight and introduce the topic and talk about it. And then, if we get some great response, we're feeling like next week, Christmas week, the 25th through the 29th, we'll place it into five parts during Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. with the 7:32 p.m. re-airing. So you can kind of get bits and pieces or listen to it again. It's something that I've listened to many times. So I think it's put together well enough that it'll keep your interest. It'll be maybe a new experience for some to stay tuned without all the visuals, without all the media that we're grown accustomed to, listening to the old-fashioned way people would engage with their radio.
Yeah.
Or in this case, it'll be their iPad or their streaming audio or their computer. You'll access
it. Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people have. Somebody told me on Sunday morning, because we have been announcing, we have it a part of our slides that play in the beginning of church, and then we, the last 2 weeks, have mentioned it during our announcements. And somebody came up to me afterwards, and they said, I can't wait to listen to it, but I'm going to have to go out to my car. Because the only radio I have in my house is my car. And then I reminded them they could go on the computer, and they said, oh, I didn't even think about the computer. Yeah, but they said, I don't have a radio.
Yeah, I don't even know at what point, if we had so many people with the streaming, if it's going to shut down. I don't know how many access points. I think we can go up to so many.
Net neutrality now. Who knows if you even be, use up extra bandwidth, they'll come get you.
They'll shut me down.
Shuts it down.
So, and it'll probably be archived too. And in fact, I know you've been helping me and our team work on a CD cover. Mm-hmm. We are at least purchasing 300, maybe 600 copies, so the cast and their families can all have a souvenir edition. But I think we'll probably open that up if you're really impressed and pleased by the production, probably for a donation. If you say, hey, I'd like a copy of that, we'll figure out either you come in by the Great News Radio Center and picking it up. But we'll have those probably in 2 to 3 weeks. We'll see how that all gets facilitated in the waking hours that we have left. But tonight, 7 p.m., tell a friend, invite someone over. Good old-fashioned radio. It's A Wonderful Life, The Beloved Story by Frank Capra. This is a special, unique radio broadcast. So we follow the same script, but we have to leave out a few scenes. We can't have everything. Like, we don't have that one scene where they're dancing on the floor and they fall into the pool. There's a few scenes, but we hold
that's
really true
it,
to the
storyline. That's dangerous because of the electric radio.
We didn't want the water splashing around here. So, but we're very excited to have it shared with y'all. And that's 7 p.m. tonight, so looking forward to getting feedback and letting us know what you thought about it. And I know Kate and the team, they're all excited, and we had, like I said, close to 50 different cast members, and so it's all coming together. But we have currently a special guest in our studio here, a first time. Well, actually, wasn't it some years ago? Yeah.
Years and years ago, but he didn't have as many words, and he didn't eat as much.
He didn't. Yeah, he's filling out.
Yeah,
you're looking good there. I like the
Illini
cap on.
Thanks.
Your second debut. What was the first time? Do you remember what we talked about?
I don't know.
Were you even a believer then?
I think it was in kindergarten.
Okay.
So I'm not a believer yet.
Yeah, early on. What we call Jacob, the little professor. He's got some great insights. He's pretty smart.
12 going on 50.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he
not old enough to drive, but he could do AARP.
Yeah, that's right.
That's his.
So what do you want to say during this Christmas Advent season? Go Jesus?
No, come Jesus.
Come Jesus.
Come Jesus, and I don't know what else.
So give us some of your thoughts about Christmas. What are you thinking about when it comes to Christmas?
I think of a tree, a manger, a stable, and a star.
Oh. So why in that order?
A manger, a stable, a tree, and a star.
Oh, we shifted the tree now from number one to number three. Nothing like putting you on the spot here. But I think you had the Lego Bible we talked about at length. Maybe it was last year or something. How God can use something that makes it much more inviting or, I don't know, user-friendly. Or it's been something that you've been on your little faith journey for a while now. And
true.
Jason was talking about one of the events you went to where you were like, I like the teaching, more teaching. And
oh, yeah, that was when you went and you got to meet Alistair Begg and Dr. Stephen Lawson.
He's got his two thumbs up, so he really liked that time. Yep,
You know, recently Jacob did a poetry club or poetry corner cafe.
Unit in English.
Yeah, in English. And they had to write this little poetry book and put it together. And Jacob did this book that looks like a real old-fashioned book. But at the end, he had a poem that kind of closed the book out that said, you know, kind of things about Jacob, that he doesn't like athletics as much, likes a good book. You said you worry about losing siblings. But then you said at the end of your poem, you said, whose final destination is heaven. Why did you think that was important to put that in there?
Well, I didn't know what other final destination I have.
Well, why do you think that your final destination is heaven?
well, I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I believe when I leave this earth, I will go to heaven.
And I was there for that baptismal service.
I thought you were going to say I was there in heaven. I thought you were going to say that.
No, not at all.
Well, you know, we got just a couple days till Christmas here. I mean, this is Friday, and then you got crazy Saturday. You know, people are going to be just going crazy. And then Sunday is Christmas Eve, and then it's I'm just like, wow. I almost blinked, and it's Christmas.
Yeah, and if you haven't put your gifts in the mail yet, there's a pretty good chance it's not going to make it at this point.
No, no, they're not going to make it. I think I've gotten all my emails the last day or so with the alert, like, if you don't do it today, you don't do it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, now I think I'm getting all the ones that say, give the gift card, give the gift card. But, you know, it's interesting. In the beginning, you made a comment about, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the reason for the season. And isn't it so interesting that when we go to a birthday party, when you go to a birthday party, Jacob, say you go to a friend's birthday party, who is the center of attention at the birthday party?
The friend.
Yeah, the friend is, right? We sing, happy birthday to...
blank.
Happy birthday to you. And we give them the gifts. We have them blow out the candles. We thank them for inviting us to the party. Generally, you know, sometimes we'll have signs up, happy birthday, Jim or John or Tom or whatever. And yet, Christmas is Jesus' birthday. The Bible actually says, it's fascinating, I love this, it says in Matthew in the first chapter, beginning in the 18th verse, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Now the birth of Jesus happened on a day, right? So if the birth of Jesus happened on a day, then we really need to infer this text as saying, now the birthday of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Mm-hmm. Jesus' birthday. And yet, what have we done with his birthday?
Right.
We've made him so not the center of it. We come and it's what gifts do we give each other, not what gifts do we give to him. How do we celebrate one another and not how do we celebrate him? We've made Christmas all about, we've made his birthday all about us. And yet he is supposed to be, by nature of attending a birthday party,
yeah,
a birthday celebration, he's supposed to be the center.
In his honor.
In fact, when you read the biblical narrative, what happens? God comes and he brings people. He brings the magi. He brings the angels. He brings the shepherds. He brings all these people to attend and focus themselves upon this person because it is their birthday. And yet, when we come to Jesus' birthday, he's actually the farthest person from our thoughts. Or we let him attend equally with us. You know, we're kind of like, well, you know, it is Jesus' birthday. Where's my eggnog? You know, and so one of the things that I've been really passionate about, my wife and I, we had our anniversary last week, celebrating 13 years together. And yeah, I know, right?
Shout out for Tasha, the first lady.
Yeah, yay. She's long-suffering. And so we had that. And one of the things is we sat in a restaurant and just ate dinner together and talked was about how we just don't care about all the junk this year. Even, I mean, we had to go Christmas shopping yesterday, and I just struggled to Christmas shop, not because I don't want to be generous and not because I don't like to give people gifts, but I just want to just focus on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want it to be about him and just kind of be bowled over, be speechless. I mean, I think about all the great things that happen in our lives, that's happened in your life, Mark. I think about when you adopted Esther, and they have that great picture of she's in a princess dress, and you guys are out in front of the courthouse. And I think if in that moment somebody was to say, Mark, how do you feel? I think you would say, well, I feel. I mean, I think in that moment you would have to try and find the words because the situation is greater than words even have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bigger than what you can even express in that moment because you're joyful and you're happy and you can't believe that God actually brought you to this moment in answer to a prayer that you've had for so many years. And yet, Christmas Day is the culmination of all the prayers and all the things that the people in the Old Testament prayed about, all the things they looked forward to and hoped God would do, all the things that they wondered about. Isaiah 40 says, the people have walked in darkness and now they have seen a great light. Mm. You know, and so there's this moment of just like all that God said he was going to do, and he did it. And we should be absolutely speechless. When I was reading the narratives in Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1, I was really almost struck by the fact that there is more narrative describing lesser events in the rest of the Bible. Jesus spends more physical space in words telling us a parable. Or there's more physical space in words describing something that's happening in the life of Jesus. And here, God sheds divinity and comes into humanity, and it's in like two paragraphs. two very little paragraphs. You know why I think that is? As I've read it more and more, I think it's because there's no words. There's really no words to describe it. It's sort of like if you are interested in heaven and you go to your Bible and you begin to try and read about heaven in the Bible, you don't find a lot about it. There really are no descriptions. Paul says, I saw the third heaven. I was, you know, and Isaiah was transported up into something. But the Bible doesn't have a lot of words to describe heaven. You know why? Because it's just so darn glorious that human words can't even hope to grab a hold of its beauty. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing happens in the Christmas story, on Christmas Day in the Bible. There are no words that can grab a hold of and adequately say, this is what has happened.
Yeah.
Christ has come. And so I think that's why we sing Silent Night. You know, I don't think we sing Silent Night because it was a silent night, because I don't think it was a silent night. There were animals. There was a crying baby. There was a woman giving birth. There were people streaming into Bethlehem because of the census. I don't think Christmas night was a silent night. But you know what I do think was silent? Us. Because we were in awe of what God had done. Those people who got to be witness to it, the shepherds, and Mary and Joseph, I think that they were just bowled over by, they couldn't believe what had happened. They couldn't believe that God had actually kept all of his promises, that God has actually done what he said he was going to do. And so I'm just so motivated this year to have people see that Christmas is truly Christ's birthday. It's not just a holiday. It's not just gather around the trees and the... And this is what I told my wife the other day, and actually I told my church this on Sunday morning. I'd written it in my journal earlier in November. And I wrote in my journal, I said, you know why we like the trees, and you know why we like the gathering and the presents and the friends coming over and all of those things. And I even wrote... I wrote it actually from a first-person standpoint. I said, Jason likes the tree, Jason likes the presents, Jason likes all this stuff. Because it's easier. That's easier than me actually having to stand in awe of what God did. Me actually having to realize I don't have the words, I don't have an adequate understanding of all that God did, that I'm just supposed to fall down and worship. Because I can't believe that God actually did this thing. And that when he did this thing, my name was on his lips. That when he came into shed divinity to come into humanity, he knew where he was going. He knew the cross. He knew what he was going to do, because that was part of the promises, Isaiah 53. And so God was always from the manger looking to the cross and saying, salvation is coming. These people have seen a great light, and I am going to free them from the bondage of their sin and their iniquity. And so God came on a mission to free us from all of that. And that should really bring us to the point where we're like, gosh, I don't know what to say. And so what do we do? You know what? This is what I found as a man. When I don't know what to say, I just try and get busy.
Yeah, busyness.
Yeah. And so when I don't know what to say about Christmas, you know what I do? I plan gatherings, and I put up a tree, and I put the lights on, and I put the ornament. And those are all good things. Please don't anybody hear me say that those are bad things. But when I don't know what to say, what I end up doing is trying to get busy. And I think what we've done at Christmas is try and make ourselves so busy that we don't have to stand in awe and actually worship without words what God has done on our behalf.
Yeah, and it takes work.
It really does.
I mean, a lot of times, speaking for men or speaking for myself, it's much easier to go to work instead of dealing with the issues at the homestead or, you know, working through the communication barriers or whatever, and the same with a relationship with God.
Yeah.
It's easy to do the good things, to do the church work, and not deal with the wrestling of sitting quietly and meditating and reading his word and being still before him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I had a guy not too long ago. It was really interesting. I was asking him about reading the Bible, and we were talking about that. And he said to me, I don't like to read the Bible. And I said, why don't you like to read the Bible? He says, because when I read the Bible, it makes me cry. Hmm. And he said, and that's not very manly. And I said, well, you know what? God wired you that way. I mean, that's your response to God speaking to you through his word. I said, I don't know why it breaks your heart so. I said, but let it.
Yeah.
Let it break your heart. And in the same way, let Christmas seep into your heart and into your soul in such a way where you tell your family, you know what, we're going to open up these presents, but before we do that, we're going to give God the glory here. Mm-hmm. We're going to lift up his name, and we're going to thank him for the fact that all that we have comes from him. The greatest gift ever was given to us in the manger.
Mm. And I know this is that time, Jason, we've talked about this on prior programs where we're so busy and consumed and racing here and trying to get the deal and making exchanges and working furiously to be able to attend this thing. So there's shortcuts and we're at wit's end and tempers will flare. And it's like we've missed the whole value of this whole time to be amazed. I like your reference, too, of falling down on our knees and just worshiping and crying out and saying, God, we are unworthy. When you sit and think about the biblical narrative that God, Almighty God, sovereign of the universe, who created it all, shed that to come in the form of man so we could identify in the form of a baby, even less than a man, just reliant and surrendered or submitted to parents.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the King of Glory. Yeah, I think Satan's greatest weapon is to fill us with busyness so we don't ever contemplate those things.
Yeah, yeah, and then package it. And I'm not anti-Christmas, but then package it as peace and joy and those kinds of things. When the only source of peace, the Prince of Peace, when the only source of joy, everlasting joy, will come from Jesus. Mm. And so if we don't come sit at his feet on Christmas morning, I don't know how we find Christmas joy. I don't know how we have Christmas peace. Mm. You know, we need those things.
Mm. Well, I would pray that as you would tune in all weekend long, allow the music to be that balance or that soothing balm. I pray that you'll take time to slow down and recollect and be mindful of the reason for the season. I don't know if our It's a Wonderful production tonight will help do that, but it does center on that God does answer prayer, that God has an interest in the impact that you can make, that George Bailey made, that people can make in other people's lives is during this time of year. And so we pray that God works his way and his will out in all these circumstances. Yeah. And if you can tune in tonight at 7 p.m., I trust you're in for a blessing. But the better blessing is connecting with the Lord Jesus Christ this weekend and then certainly on Christmas. So we in unison say Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, and thanks for tuning in. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo and Jacob Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, weekend, and Merry Christmas.